Blog Talk Radio.
15 NFL draft. The Tennessee Titans select Marcus Mariota, quarterback, Oregon.
Just want everybody to know that I did that audio on my own. I got it right this time. It never ceases cracking me up that Roger Goodell couldn't pronounce the second player drafted in the draft's name correctly. But anyway, this is episode 2 of MCM Draft Radio. I'm your host, Jimmy Morris, joined by Terry Lambert. Terry, how are you?
What's going on, Jimmy? I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good. All right, so today we're going to talk a little bit about what went on yesterday at the Combine with John Robinson and Mike Mularkey both speaking. They had the press conference, and then I listened to both of them on the Monday 180 as well. They're up at the Combine. So we'll talk a little bit about what they said, and then we'll get a little bit into the wide receiver position, which I think we both agree that the Titans could definitely be looking at with a 33rd pick, or if they were to trade back in the first round or even trade back into the first round from that 33 spot would be a position they could be looking at. So I think probably the most interesting thing to me from yesterday was the phrase that I think John Robinson said, that Taylor Lewan is our left tackle right now. Now, you know, it's kind of silly to read too much into that, because he's not going to give anything away in that press conference. Whether they love Laremy Tunsil, and, you know, there's basically no way they would trade out of the first pick without, you know, some huge package of picks, or they hate him and don't want him even a little bit, he's going to try not to give either one of those things away in the press conference from yesterday, obviously. But did you make anything of that, the fact that he said right now, or do you think that was just him keeping all his options open?
I did make a little bit of it. Just kind of shows that he's open to playing with things, moving things around. He went on to say that he does believe Taylor could play on the right side, which is interesting. For a guy like that to come out and say his franchise left tackle, he would be open to moving him to the right side. So I do put a little bit of stock into that, and maybe he's just playing with our heads, playing the game a little bit, but maybe he wants people to think he's taking Tunsil. I don't know, but definitely he came out and was very open about Lewan, which I was a little bit surprised about, to be honest.
Yeah, and, you know, you said right there that he's his franchise left tackle. He's not really, you know. I mean, he was the franchise left tackle that Rustin Webster drafted. So, you know, he may not have the same feelings about him that Webster did. Because, you know, Webster basically said, and if you listen to, I mean, it's been 2 years ago now, obviously, but Webster was always on the Midday 180 on Fridays. And they had him on, I think, the Friday before the draft. And he was talking about basically, you know, if there were a player there that wasn't necessarily at a position of need that they really liked, they could take him. And so that kind of, you know, led a lot of people to think that they might be looking tackle, just because, you know, in that draft there were some good ones, and you just figured that the way things were going to fall, that might be something that they could possibly be looking at. You know, Webster then later said, obviously, you know, yeah, it's that good. You couldn't pass on him and all those things. You know, and Lewan played, he played okay last year. You know, obviously was hurt the majority of his first year. After he did get the chance to start, he got hurt. Was okay last year, was better really than I realized, at least if you want to trust the PFF grades. They actually graded him out pretty well overall, and he did get a little bit better cutting down the penalties and that stuff as the year went on. But, you know, everybody says Tunsil is like, you know, one of these once in a whatever generation guys. I don't think that's the right phrase for a tackle, but you know, Mel Kiper talked about how he would be, you know, one of the highest graded tackles in any draft. So it's not just a product of there not being another guy there. I mean, this guy is, by all accounts, that good. So obviously that's something that you got to think about. How hard do you think it would be of a transition for Taylor Lewan to go from left tackle to right tackle? I mean, is that realistic? Do you think that would be an easy transition for him, or do you think that would take some time?
I think it would take a little bit of time, just getting his body used to, you know, kick sliding left, kick sliding right, just a minor adjustment. But the thing thing on Lawan is his athletic score at the combine was great. I mean, you look at his web on mockdraftable.com, and it's incredible. He's one of the most athletic tackles in that class, if not the most. So I think he could do whatever he wants. Taylor Wong can play whatever he wants, even if he kicks inside the guard. I've heard a little bit. I don't think right tackle will be an issue at all. And then you look at the Super Bowl. People are lining up pass rushers everywhere. They're finding the weak point on the offensive line and attacking it. We saw that this year with Byron Bell and Jeremiah Patasi. I mean, pass rushers are coming from everywhere. They're not just coming off the left. They're not just coming off the quarterback's blind side anymore. You've got to have two pillars on the left and right side. And then you got to get the interior shored up, of course, with some interior rushers. I think the idea of landing Tunsil, one of the best tackles in years, the best I've ever seen. I've been doing this since 2011, which isn't saying a whole lot. But he's the best I've ever seen. Great feet, agility. He's got the whole package, strengths, lengths, size. Putting him on the left side, putting Lawan on the right side solves a lot of issues.
Yeah, and then one more thing before we move on and talk a little bit about receivers. I read something yesterday about Jalen Smith. This is kind of just stream of consciousness, I guess, that he would be in the conversation for the first overall pick if he didn't have the injury that he had at the end of the year. Have you watched much of him? Do you think that there's something to that?
I've watched a little bit. I haven't finalized my grade on him yet. He's 6'3", about 250, but he moves. His athletic ability is just crazy. He's got the length, speed, sideline to sideline, burst. Some of the plays he makes, it's just incredible. He's kind of getting that Patrick Willis comp. I think he would be pushed down the process just because he's a linebacker, and it's just kind of like running back. It's a position that's been pushed down in value over the past, 10 years. You just don't see linebackers taking that high. I thought Miles Jack had a shot to be in that conversation. I definitely thought Jalen Smith had a shot to be in the conversation. But at the end of the day, I think, Joey Bosa, Laremy Tunsil, both quarterbacks, DeForest Buckner, Jalen Ramsey, they would all trump him because they play a little bit more of important positions.
Gotcha. Yeah. Not really a place the Titans would be looking necessarily, because I was thinking if he could be a guy that they might target if they trade down a little bit. Try to get out of that first pick. And John Robinson talked about that yesterday. Talked about, just keeping the options open and all that stuff. And when we talked about this last week, and we talked about it on the blog and stuff too. I mean, what the Titans need is for Carson Wentz seems to be the guy. With Mayock saying that he has a ceiling that's similar to Andrew Luck. The Titans need him to show well at the combine. They need him to go out there and do everything really well to get teams excited about him. Because then you've got maybe some, if they want to trade the pick, then you've got maybe some teams that might be willing to jump up there. And then you've got the Browns at two, who could get spooked and want to move, and that would give you that you'd pick up a couple picks there, and then you'd still be able to pick a Tunsil if you wanted him and have those extra picks, or Jalen Ramsey or whoever it may be, if you moved back a few picks. So they're going to have some options, hopefully. And again, that's the thing, that as we watch these workouts for the next couple of days. Ramsey's going to show well. There's no question about that. Tunsil, the same thing. I mean, everybody goes on and on about how athletic he is and all that stuff. So really, I think the key workout for the Titans to be watching, at least if you're talking about the first pick in the first round, is Carson Wentz. I mean, obviously they're not going to pick him, but I think he's the guy that can move the needle. That can get them some value in a trade with that first pick, because it's going to have to be something like that, because there's not another guy, I don't think, that anybody in this draft is going to want to trade up and get. And, like we talked about last week, everybody always says trade back, trade back, trade back, and that's fine. It would probably be best-case scenario for the Titans, But you've got to have that team that's willing to do it. And, I mean, from everything that I've been seeing, reading, hearing, all those things, it sounds like Carson Wentz is really the guy that if there's going to be a guy that people are going to want to come get, it's going to be him.
Yeah. And he's got, you know, he's 6'6", 230. He can move. I understand the Andrew Luck comp from a physical standpoint. The question on him is going to be the level of competition. You know, he's an FCS guy. He had shoulder issues coming out of high school that caused him trouble in the recruiting process, and that's why he got overlooked by all the D1 schools. But you look at him, he's got the live arm, the athletic ability, plays in that pro-style under-center offense, you know, goes through progressions, eats up zone coverage. Yeah, and then you put him against a guy like Goff, who played more of a spread system, who played against the superior talent. You know, there's some arm issues with Goff. I think Wentz is the better physical, better from a physical standpoint. But, yeah, Wentz seems to have all the momentum going forward here. He killed the Senior Bowl process. We haven't really seen Goff yet. We'll see how they both perform at the combine in the pro days and stuff. The stuff we won't see, you know, behind the closed doors, the pre-sport sessions, the interviews, all that stuff matters. And we won't see that. So we'll see who comes out of Indy with the momentum. But, yeah, as a Titans fan, you got to hope.
Yeah, and I think the interviews will be a big deal for Wentz, obviously. I mean, you know, teams are going to want to try to, I guess, get an understanding of how he'll do against, like you said, the next level of competition, because it is tough to evaluate him, you know, to really know what he's going to do the next. And it's tough on any quarterback, but especially when you're looking at coming from the level that he's coming at, not even having, you know, a D1 or a BCS, however you want to say that, scheduled of tape against. And one more thing before we get to wide receivers. Have you seen, is Derrick Henry going to run? I saw something the other day that said he wasn't going to run, and then somebody else was saying they don't know where anybody got that. Have you seen anything on that?
Terry McCormick said that he wasn't, but every other person at the combine is reporting that he will. He talked about
Okay, so. He
had a time he wanted to beat, so I think he's going to run.
Gotcha. Terry McCormick, not always the most reliable source of information. But, I'm interested to see his time. And, again, I think that, you know, when John Robinson talked about a running back that he would want yesterday, it sounded like he could be talking about Derrick Henry, at least a Derrick Henry-type guy. Obviously, he didn't come on and say it. But I think that's something to watch. And, obviously, not at one or even in the first round, but that second pick. He could be a guy that's very much in play there. And we talked about this a little bit last week and how it's probably better to wait till next year. But I'm just interested to see what his time is. And I think he's going to run faster than people think, because when you watch him, he ran away from guys. You know, guys took angles that they thought would get to him, and they didn't a lot of times, you know, when he got in the open field. And, you know, we talked about it, and obviously I'm a huge Alabama fan, but I don't love Derrick Henry just because I don't know how much he's able to create. And, you know, if they draft Tunsil and can pick up a guard in free agency, then you might have some confidence in this offensive line. But I really do think he needs to play behind a good offensive line. And until the Titans show me that they're going to have a good offensive line, I'm not going to believe it just because it's been so long. But anyway, that's just something that I think is going to be interesting to watch. And he can – I mean, he's probably still – I guess unless he runs some ridiculous time, he's going to be the second running back off the board. But I think he'll be there as an option for the Titans with that second pick. And probably even a guy – I mean, you can weigh on this – that they could probably move down a little bit and still get, kind of like they did with DGB last year.
Yeah, as far as Henry goes, he's an athletic freak. I don't think people realize just how crazy of an athlete this guy is. He measured in at 6'2.5" yesterday, 247, yeah. So he's going to run, like, close to the 4.4s, and people aren't realizing that. I've got him pegged as, like, a 4.48 to 4.55, somewhere in that range, and if he hits 4.4, I mean – this dude's going to shut down the internet. It's just crazy. The ability to eat up angles, you know, he kills safeties. Safeties are like, oh, I got this guy. And boom, he's in the end zone. So you just don't see that speed and ability out of a guy that big. But yeah, the NFL typically hates big running backs, and we've talked about that. I've talked about that this whole draft season. For whatever reason, they just don't like them. That sweet spot is kind of like this 5'10 to 6'1 range. And Henry gives you a big target as a defender. You can go low on him and chop his knees out and take him down in the backfield. But yeah, his ability to create, that's one of the few questions I've got on him. Because, you know, you look at that run, that big run national championship game, you could have driven a Mack truck through that hole. What happens when he's running behind, you know, Kevin Looney and Quentin Spain and Byron Bell? Is he going to be able to create? You know, I have some question marks on that. I'd have question marks on any running back. You put Adrian Peterson back there, I'd have question marks about that. But anyways, yeah, I think you can trade down maybe a little. He's going to get first-round hype coming out of the combine, but I would expect that to die back down after everybody quits losing their mind. But, yeah, similar to the DGB thing, I think Malarkey's going to love him, though. Just a big body that's just going to take punishment and keep on trying.
Yeah. All right, so on to receivers. You know, I think Laquon Treadwell is obviously the top receiver in this class. Now, it seems like when you have guys like Treadwell, who's a very good player, no doubt, but he's not Calvin Johnson. I mean, he's not somebody like that is just like a no-brainer elite kind of guy at the next level. Whoever the front runner is at any position, it seems like, when they're not that elite talent, they start to get knocked down as the process goes on. And obviously, I mean, we'll know more after – or I guess he's not going to run, I think was what he had said. But, I mean, he'll run, I guess, at Ole Miss's pro day. But those guys start to get kind of knocked down, and people talk about how they're not that good and blah, blah, blah. What do you think about Treadwell? I mean, obviously, again, not in play at one, but – let's say the Titans were to trade back with the Rams or somebody like that and move down, you know, quite a few spots. Do you think he would be in play at that spot? Or even if not, let's say, you know, they draft whoever, let's say they draft Tunsil with the first pick and Treadwell starts to slide in the first round. At what point do you think it would make sense for the Titans to try to come back into the first round to get him?
Yeah. Treadwell's a guy that isn't going to run fast, and the NFL media hates that. And, you know, he's not running this weekend, but he's running about a 4.6. That was the rumored time. And, you know, that's not his game. He's just a big, nasty receiver that out-muscles people for footballs. And he's a great blocker, just a nasty blocker. Does everything well. You know, kind of cut from that Anquan Boldin type cloth. He's still my number one receiver. Probably not. He's not the top five player that everybody was making him out to be early in the process, and I think that's coming out now. But yeah, I think he goes somewhere in that 15 to 23 range. I initially thought Detroit was his floor, but now with all this coming out, it wouldn't surprise me to see him drop down to like 23 or so with the Vikings. Yeah, if the Titans wanted to get back in, I think you got to get in front of the Vikings. I think it'd be tough to jump that high, especially with the roster rebuild that Robinson's got going on here. I think you're giving up too much. But yeah, if he gets past Minnesota at 23, that's gonna raise my eyebrows. And I think from that point on, you just kind of gotta hope he falls. I really don't think Robinson's in a place to trade up at all. I think he wants to keep all of his picks.
All right, so Treadwell's number one. Who's number two?
For me, it's Corey Coleman. He's a small guy. He's still kind of raw. Out of Baylor. Baylor guys get a bad rap because of Kendall Wright, you know, obviously. But Coleman's probably the most athletic receiver just in terms of short area quickness and agility. Explosion, this dude can stop on a dime and then get back up to full speed in under a second. I mean, it's just crazy. His tape is incredible. It's a really fun watch. Go check him out on Draft Breakdown if you haven't. Yeah, and after that, you know, Josh Doxson was really close with me. He's real close with Coleman. He's bigger, has longer arms, bigger hands, probably more polished. And he doesn't have that speed that Coleman has, but he's got an insane vertical ability, something that I think the Titans offense has really been missing. So, yeah, Coleman's number two, and Doxson will be number three for me. I don't know if either make it to pick 33. I'd be pretty surprised, but if either do, they'll probably be at the top of my board come Friday morning.
How many wide receivers do you see getting drafted in the first round of this draft?
I think three is the ceiling. I think Treadwell, Coleman, Doxson. There was some talk of Braxton Miller after the Senior Bowl. It's kind of started to die down. I think three is the max. And then I think second and third round is just littered with guys. I've got, you know, six in round two and three that I'm looking at on my board right now. So I see three going in round one, maybe two if Coleman or Doxson fall out.
Yeah, because then, I mean, it seems like after that, I mean, who's the next guy? William Fuller?
Yeah, it goes Tyler Boyd, you know, Will Fuller, Braxton Miller in that conversation, Leon Tekaru, a guy that I wrote about yesterday. And then you look at guys like Farrell Cooper and Rashard Higgins, and Michael Thomas from Ohio State, who kind of got overlooked and overshadowed. So, yeah, the second round is real interesting. I think a guy like Tyler Boyd would interest Robinson just from his comments that he's made so far about reliable receivers, knowing where to be on the field. And Leonte Carew is the guy. He's got three career drops in three seasons as a college receiver, which is just crazy to think about. So I think two of those guys, maybe not at pick 33, but again, you trade down from 33, land at like 45 or so. I think you can talk about Carew or Boyd in that range.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I mean, they're going to need, especially the receiver position, they're going to need guys that they don't have to spend a lot of time developing as far as knowing where to be on the field and that type of stuff. I mean, obviously there's an adjustment to the NFL level with any guy, but it seems like they have a roster full of guys that don't know where to line up, don't know what routes to run, have trouble catching the ball when they do run the right routes. So if they're going to add a guy, especially early on, like, you know, second, third round, second day, I mean, I think it's where we kind of expect them to take a receiver if they're going to. It's going to have to be a guy that they feel like can step on the field and at least understand an offense and know what to do. So, I mean, I think from that standpoint, the interviews with the receivers will probably be really important for this group because, I mean, like, again, you know, between the top three guys they got right now with, you know, Kendall Wright, Justin Hunter, Dorial Green-Beckham, I mean, they've had a lot of issues with those guys, with those things that you were just talking about, knowing where to line up and all that stuff. So they got to get a guy that can kind of step in and play right away. And it probably wouldn't hurt. I mean, obviously we'll know more about this when free agency happens, but probably wouldn't hurt to get a veteran in that mix as well. Just because any young guy you bring in is going to, like I said, going to have that adjustment period. And they need some veteran help, veteran presence at that position. They've got Harry Douglas, but I'm not sure, you know, what kind of presence he is to really help those younger guys and bring them along.
Yeah, I mean, what is Justin Hunter bringing at this point? He's sure, you can call him a veteran, but, it's, you know, he hasn't developed at all. Stays hurt. You know, what is Harry Douglas bringing you besides a veteran presence that, you know, knows Terry Rubisky's playbook? There's just not a lot there outside of Kendall Wright and Dorial Green-Beckham. Trey McBride is a guy that I really liked last year. Didn't play as much as I'd like to see. But, yeah, there's bodies there, but you're not getting a whole lot out of those bodies. So it wouldn't surprise me to see Justin Hunter cut. You know, a guy like Harry Douglas, you know, needs to be pushed. And there's a bunch of late-round receivers. You know, Robinson addressed this yesterday. He said receiver was one of the deepest spots in the draft, and he's not lying. I mean, you know, just looking at some of the fourth, fifth, sixth round guys. Malcolm Mitchell from Georgia, Quinshaw Davis from North Carolina, DJ Foster from Arizona State. And then you look at guys like DeMarcus Robinson from Florida and even Duke Williams from Auburn. So there's some big-time talent that have been pushed down for whatever reason, character issues, injury concerns. So maybe Robinson's the type that will take a flyer there and draft some of those guys to push a Justin Hunter or Harry Douglas.
Is there any guy that you think could be a surprise first-round pick? I mean, you know, it seems like every year there's not necessarily a receiver. I mean, there's always some prospect that goes way harder than anybody thought they would. But is there a receiver that you think could possibly go to the combine, put up some ridiculous numbers, and jump into the first-round conversation that people don't have him in right now?
That's Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas is a guy that I can't figure out. Played at Ohio State, played alongside Braxton Miller, and he was just forgotten about just because Ohio State had so much talent. They leaned on Ezekiel Elliott, you know, Braxton Miller's in the fold. So Michael Thomas is a guy that's 6'3". He's got the size, got the wingspan, but we don't know a lot about him. Some people love him, some people hate him. I don't really know what to do with him just because he had a severe lack of targets in college. But it wouldn't surprise me if the team fell in love with him and he snuck up there into that. Maybe not first, but up there into the early second. The receiver, the sweet spot in the receiver group is going to be, again, like picks 35 to 50, I think, with Boyd, Thomas, Doxson, Fuller, Carew, all those guys. Farrow Cooper had a big career at South Carolina. All those guys, I'm really interested to see where they end up. I've heard people say this isn't a great receiver class. I disagree. I think that day two receiver talent is some of the best that we've seen.
Yeah, Michael Thomas, just interesting enough, I was looking back through some of Todd McShay's rankings, and the one that he put out right at the beginning of the college football season last year, I mean, he had Michael Thomas ranked ninth. So,
yeah.
Obviously a guy that, you know, that some people were really high on heading into the year. And like I said, I think that Ohio State's offense just ended up being a little bit different than what people thought it was going to be. And so he kind of faded into the background a little bit and didn't have the targets and that stuff this year. So that could have been what has knocked him down in the conversation a little bit. And hey, that could be good for the Titans. If he's got that kind of talent, he could be a guy that's sitting there at 33 and could be a really good value. One more thing before we go, if you're looking at, I mean, I think that they have to address the secondary in the top three picks, is my opinion, depending on what they do in free agency. You know, if they don't take Jalen Ramsey with that first pick or, you know, trading a couple spots to get him, they're obviously not going to get him. Who's the next guy besides Hargraves? Let's say Hargraves goes top 10. Who's the next guy that you're looking at? We've got like a minute left.
It gets tough. It falls off real quick. A lot of guys like Eli Apple, a lot of guys like Will Jackson from Houston. So it falls off real quick. I think Xavien Howard from Baylor, lengthy guy, 6'2", 200. I think he's going to rise through the process. But, yeah, corner opposite of receiver, you know, that sweet spot's probably down in the 90s to the 100s. But yeah, the second-round corners, I just don't see it happening.
Gotcha. So they're probably looking at third round at that spot, assuming they don't address it at the very beginning. All right. Well, Terry, thanks as always. Great information. The good news is next week when we do this, we'll have combine results to talk about. Workouts start at the combine tomorrow and go into the beginning of next week. So we'll be able to talk a little bit about those when we're on next week. So, Terry, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, like I said, and so check out museummiracles.com. That's where all of Terry's stuff is. He's breaking down a lot of the prospects in the draft. And we'll obviously have a lot of coverage of the combine, what guys do well, what guys don't do well, stock up, stock down, all that type of stuff. So for Terry Lambert, this is Jimmy saying thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next week.